But thank you for inviting us here, and for me to be able to speak on a very special day like today is awesome. It's kind of daunting as well, because it's one of those occasions, as has already been mentioned this morning, where we have a dual focus. We're celebrating the role of special and specific people in our lives while applying that to what God wants us to hear through his word as well. So clearly, we're not all mothers, but we can still all be encouraged and challenged by the godly principles that we see demonstrated in Scripture. For some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For others, biological motherhood isn't possible, and for some, even under the best of circumstances, motherhood isn't exactly a bed of roses. I'm forever grateful to have had a wonderful mum, but some of us might have had a mother who wasn't all that nice. So it can be a tricky and a sensitive subject. I'm aware that while we celebrate our biological mothers, we also need to recognise those who take up a role of spiritual motherhood, imparting their faith and demonstrating their love of Jesus to spiritual family who might otherwise not have that blessing in their life. And I'm sure we all know people like that, not necessarily women, but men as well, who take up a role in raising the next generation. Being a mother is often more difficult than becoming one. Any of the ladies, let's look to the ladies particularly. You know I'm talking about everybody. If you're fulfilling that role at some level, any of the ladies feel that it's difficult being a mum? Or is it a piece of cake? It's a walk in the park, isn't it? I heard one mother of three being asked, if you had your life over, would you still have children? Of course, she replied, but not the same ones. The role of motherhood is a tremendous responsibility, and it's also a divinely given task, a God-given task. As is the experience of many others, Carol and I suffered a couple of miscarriages along the way, but we were ultimately blessed with three beautiful children, and yes, we would do it all again with the same three. This morning, I hope the message is both encouraging and challenging. As I mentioned at the outset, it's not just for mothers, but for anyone who has a role in raising the next generation in a godly manner. That's all of us, by the way. Speaking of generations, this morning's scripture that we heard moments ago is a great place to start. It clearly demonstrates what I've called generational influence. You have a grandmother in Lois, a mother in Eunice, and a son in Timothy. And Paul opens his letter to Timothy by addressing him as, or referring to him as, my dear son. Now we know that Paul was not his biological father, but this was a spiritual relationship. He was talking in spiritual fatherhood terms. Acts 16 tells us that Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a believer, but his father was Greek, a Gentile in other words. There's nothing to suggest that his father was a believer or even was still around at this time, so it appears that either the marriage or dad himself has died. We don't hear anything at all apart from those two, one quick reference to the father in Acts 16, nothing at all in Timothy. Either way, it's a situation that many face today. A single, godly parent trying to raise their child or their children in the ways of God. I love how scripture just always speaks to our circumstances. And I think for many of us today, that's what we've just read is true. A single, godly parent trying to raise their child or their children in the ways of God. Now, that might be a single godly parent in partnership with someone who's not a believer. And so we're thinking of you as well today. Being raised in a Christian home is truly a blessing. As a Christian parent, you have both the privilege and the responsibility of teaching your children the will and ways of God. And of course, that can be through direct verbal instruction. But more importantly, your children learn best by your example. Kids are like little sponges. Anybody notice that? Apart from the fact that they eat so much food. They're like little sponges. They soak up what they see and what they hear. And you can usually have a pretty good idea of what's happening within a home by what is said and done outside the home. More on that in a moment. But now back to our reading. Timothy had the benefit of being trained up by both his mother and his grandmother, and their godly influence was noteworthy. Paul was very direct about it. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." These two women didn't hide their faith. They let it shine for all to see. Most importantly, they lived it out. They didn't just talk about it, they lived it out. It wasn't one of those situations where you talk the talk but you don't walk the walk. They were doing both in front of young Timothy. This was the influence of godly motherhood, first through Lois to her daughter, and then from both Lois and Eunice to Eunice's son. Generational influence. Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." What does that mean exactly? What is a sincere faith? We're going to look very quickly at a few aspects. Oh, look, it's not even 10:30 yet. There are more, but here are just three to get you thinking this morning. First of all, sincere faith is a faith that is seen. Right? Paul was obviously impressed, if I can use that word, by what he saw in the nature of Timothy's faith. That young man must have exuded positive godly qualities which were both convincing and memorable or noteworthy. He says, "I am reminded of what I see in your faith." And Paul is at pains to point out that it all comes back to the genuine faith of Mum and Granny. They were Jesus to Timothy by their consistent example. This is a bit of a wake-up call, if you like, to all parents and grandparents today. And I say this in all sincerity, and I hope you hear it, there is a deep need for young men and young women to see honest, genuine, and sincere faith in action. They need to see authentic faith. They need to see a faith that is evident in every part of life, and that has become a natural outpouring of your relationship with the Lord. Don't just try and bung it on, because they'll see straight through you. It should be a natural outpouring of your relationship with the Lord. I mentioned moments ago that you can have a pretty good idea of what's happening in a home by what is said and done outside the home. Let those things be positive. What you say and what you do, let them be positive. Don't be like the parents whose young son cried all the way home from church, and when his mum asked him what was wrong, he replied, "That pastor said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Actions do speak louder than words, don't they? Let your kids see your faith. Let them hear your faith. Let them know that yours is a genuine, sincere faith, not just hot air. I recall just very quickly, as I was growing up, you know, as a young man, young boy, it was nothing for me to walk past my mother's bedroom and see her on her knees beside her bed, praying. And so I'm grateful to have had that as my experience growing up, not just to hear her tell me how to live my life through God, but also to see her living that out in her own life. Such a blessing. Paul says he clearly remembered Timothy's sincere faith. So when people recall their time with you, what do they remember? Second, a sincere faith is one that is shared. Timothy's faith first lived in his mother and grandmother, as we know. Now, that may not have been your experience growing up. You might not have had that blessing of either parent. But that doesn't mean it can't first live in you. You can be the beginning of generational influence. And so pass it on to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. I haven't mentioned great-grandparents today, but they're in there as well. Pass it on to them. Whatever is at the top of your priority list will impact on your kids. If you have faith in yourself rather than him, so will your children have faith in themselves rather than in him. If you focus primarily on work or on accumulating wealth or material possessions, so will your kids. But if your priority as mums and dads is to hand down your faith, to pass on your faith as a spiritual inheritance, that is the best legacy you can ever pass on to your kids. You know, we make, as most adults, we make wills to hand down our material possessions, don't we? So that when we die, people know what our wishes were. But handing down a deep living faith in God is something that we can do every day. Don't wait till your deathbed. It's a bit late by then to try and pass it on. You can do this every day by handing down a living faith that is demonstrated through how you live your life, how you speak, how you act, how you think. And it has eternal significance. The third and last thing is a sincere faith. A sincere faith is a faith that is stirred up. You might not have thought of that before. In verse 6 of our reading, Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Keep your faith ablaze. Now, those of us who were at family camp last week, Logan and Deanne are not here today, unfortunately, but Logan stoked up a great fire, which kept the water boiling and all that kind of stuff. And if you've ever been on a camp, he didn't do it this way, but sometimes stoking up or lighting up a fire takes a lot of work, especially if you're rubbing a couple of sticks together. Thankfully, we don't have to do that much these days, but it takes a lot of work if you're doing it the old-fashioned way particularly. It requires action and it requires motion and it requires deliberate effort, and so does the fanning of our faith. James tells us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And so if your faith lies dormant like an unattended fire, it's going to fizzle out pretty quickly. Eunice had fanned the fire in Timothy, and now Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep fanning. Don't give up. Don't let it die. Mums and dads have a God-given responsibility to stir up the faith of their children so that they develop into healthy young men and women of faith. Commit to memory. If you're not a person who memorises scripture verses or whatever, I would encourage you to remember this one at least for the sake of your kids and your grandkids. Most of you will have heard it before, I'm sure, if not all of you. It comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Something that's deep within you. Impress them on your children. I'm not making that up. That's straight out of scripture. Don't just remember them. Don't just think, oh, that's a great thing to do. Impress them on your children. And how do you do that? Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, your love of God should spill out into everything you do, everything you say, and everywhere you go. It should be, as I mentioned a moment ago, a natural outpouring of what is in your heart. And your kids should see it that way. They're pretty discerning when it comes to real or fake. I mentioned at the outset that this message this morning is meant to encourage not just mums, but anyone who has responsibility for raising a godly generation. And the next thing I said should ring true. That's all of us, by the way. Our young people need faith that is seen, that is shared, and that is stirred up. If that's something that you don't have at the moment, but for which you have a deep desire, then speak to someone this morning who can get alongside you, someone who can fan into flame the faith of God which is in you. It is by grace you are saved through faith. Your kids and their kids need it to be strong in you. I'm going to ask Carol to come up now and just read a reading, or writing, for us this morning. And then not sure whether we're singing the song straight away, and then I'll give a benediction, yes. But Carol, if you wouldn't mind, thanks.
Today we honour mums who wipe tears with one hand and wield the sword of the Spirit with the other. Travail in prayer at midnight and still get up early to pack lunches and speak life over their homes. Mothers who have prayed for everybody else's prodigal while secretly weeping over their own. Mothers who have stood believing God for other people's breakthroughs while silently carrying heartbreak in their own homes. God has seen every hidden tear. Every moment of weariness and waiting was held together by him. He has heard every whispered prayer, prayed after everyone else went to sleep. You have not prayed in vain. There are women who have stood in the gap until there was no gap left. Women who refused to let their families slip into darkness and have fought for family alone. Your prayers have not gone unnoticed. Your oil was not produced in comfort, but in crushing. It was brought forth out of seasons of betrayal, exhaustion, hidden prayers, and nights when you wondered if anybody saw the weight you carried. These mothers are anything but weak. They are watchmen. They are gatekeepers. They are nurturers with discernment. They are warriors wrapped in compassion. They teach sons how to pray and daughters how to reach to God. The ones who carry both compassion and confrontation. They love deeply, but they will not tolerate darkness. They nurture, but they also war. Heaven sees your faithfulness and great is your reward. We see you and we celebrate you today.
Can I get the music up if you wouldn't mind? Thanks, Nathan. The song we're about to sing, I'm not sure whether many of you would know it. Some of you may.